Welcome to Weekly Insights at Winthrop Capital Management, where we discuss recent developments currently shaping the markets and industries in the global economy. Here's your host, Chief Investment Officer Greg Hahn.
Good morning, everybody. All right, I didn't watch any sporting this weekend. Charlie, I'm missing our sports update.
I got a sports update coming for you.
Shoot, let's start with that.
The ESPN yesterday at 9 p.m. Released the first two episodes of The Last Dance, which is about the 97-98 Bulls team. And it was really great.
Uh-oh.
And that might just be the Chicago boy in me. But Twitter was a place with it.
All right. We're going to have to adjust this podcast to get the Chicago sports update back into its normal time slot. So this weekend, I watched the watch party for the movie That Thing You Do, which came out in 1996. Tom Hanks, classic movie, cult film. I don't know if you guys have you guys ever seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Never even heard of it.
It is a highly, it's on the Han, one of the Han family top 10 lists. So so watching the watch party, which was the actors walking through the movie 25 years ago, I highly recommend it. It's out on YouTube. That was my entertainment for the weekend.
So, all right. Did you hear that the band's getting together for a charity event?
No.
I didn't. Yeah. The Wonders are getting together to do a.
Yeah, the Oneidas. So the. Yeah. I guess they didn't know how to play the instruments when they first started the whole movie. They all had musicians that were helping them taking lessons. Like the drummer, Guy Patterson, hadn't played drums prior to that. It's pretty cool. Okay, let's create a context for what we're about to talk about in the economy and the capital markets. So when we started 2020, when we started this year, we had some concerns over the growing evidence of a slowing economy. There was, in spite of a strong labor market and there were small wage gains, the holiday shopping season was kind of mixed, and the economy was struggling to hit a 2% growth rate. And we were concerned that the rates of decline were starting to show. We're long in the tooth in this expansion. And then the coronavirus came, and it just blew expectations we had for the economy and earnings out the window. Now, in fairness, the coronavirus was first on our radar at the end of January. So this predates all of the shutdowns for large gatherings and NCAA conference basketball tournaments. But the tsunami of closings for restaurants, nail salons, and the cancellation of all sporting events largely occurred in March. So we had 2 months of somewhat growth, and then we hit March. And then the last 2 weeks of March, it was basically shutdown mode. But the first 2 weeks, we were kind of just trying to figure our way as the coronavirus continued to spread through the United States. Now, our framework to understand this pandemic has been to separate the economy, the financial system, and the capital markets into three separate verticals, knowing that they're all linked together. But we expect the movements in the capital markets will become less correlated with the news on the economy. And the news on the economy is just, it's going to be bad. And I'll get to that in a second, because we're starting to see March data coming out of the Commerce Department. But the government moved quickly. So we had both fiscal and monetary stimulus that helped to support this. The monetary stimulus is already in action. The fiscal piece of it is yet to be fully deployed. And that includes the payroll protection program, which that money, even though the money's been allocated, the first tranche of it, many of those loans haven't been deployed. And then the news we're seeing over the weekend is that there is a second piece of that may come out as early as Tuesday, which would increase the $350 million program for small businesses up to an additional $300 million. And then they provided support for the airline industry, and it's just massive support for our whole economy and infrastructure. Now, here's where it gets interesting, guys, is last week, the state of Illinois asked Congress for $40 billion in bailout money which includes $10 billion for its system, for its pension system, excuse me. Now, this is, Illinois has been a challenge now for 2 decades in terms of its fiscal position. And it's similar to Detroit and Puerto Rico, which navigated difficult bankruptcies. The state of Illinois is basically asking for a bailout. So there's a precedent now, which New Jersey would be close behind it if the government chooses to do this. I think it's going to be a real challenge for where the government draws the line for assistance. Also, not related to that, is April rent payments for commercial properties. Those came through, but we're seeing the challenges that landlords are going to face. And this is really going to hit when May and June payments come up, and those are likely to be down significantly. But that's shopping malls, strip malls, retail businesses, restaurants, movie theaters, concerts, conference venues, hotels, all all those businesses will struggle to pay next month's rent. And it remains to be seen whether the payroll protection program, which was designed to alleviate this challenge, is going to be able to do it, because the problems the businesses are facing to survive are larger than their next rent payment. So it's going to get interesting. And then the transition back to work is going to be slower than people expect also. So just planning on coming back into work, and that means people going to restaurants, riding subways, going to sporting events, getting their hair done. I don't need to worry about that, but all of those issues have to be considered and worked out as we transition back. So that really tells us that the economy is going to be slower to recover than what we would desire, I guess. So with that as kind of a backdrop and a context, we've got earnings coming up. So we've started the earnings season, and we've got tremendous movements in the capital market. So Freddie, I'm going to turn it over to you to talk about earnings.
Thanks, Greg. So earnings kicked off last week. 21 companies have reported so far. To highlight the big banks, JP Morgan profit came in well below, with earnings of 78 cents versus the 184 estimate. They added $6.8 billion to loan loss provisions, as they expect a surge in defaults across credit cards, real estate, and retail. Revenue actually held up quite well, coming in at $29.07 billion. That's a drop of 3% year over year. The one positive was the trading division. It posted a 32% increase in revenue, which was a record. Bond revenue was $5 billion, which beat by $1 billion, and equities were $2.2 billion. The stock is down 32% year to date. Similar story with Citigroup, with a big drop in first quarter profit. Earnings at 105 versus the 187 estimate. Again, loan loss reserves are up to $4.9 billion. And revenue was up 12%, again, with higher fixed income and equity trading. Both divisions bringing in over 40% more revenue. But again, the stock year to date down 43%. Heading into this week, busy earnings calendar. To highlight a few, tomorrow, Coca-Cola, Lockheed, Procter & Gamble, Netflix, and Texas Instruments. Wednesday, AT&T, Boeing, Thermo Fisher, Facebook, Microsoft, PayPal, Visa. And then Thursday, we have Lilly, Amazon, and Intel. Close off with an update on our sector views. We talked about that last week, which we have shifted our core sector models, but we're also working to implement these views into our large cap blend model to attain our desired exposure. So most recently, we have added to Infotech through Salesforce. We've reduced our exposure in industrials by selling out of Cummins and CSX. We reduced our energy exposure by reducing our position in Conoco, and we have raised our exposure to utilities by adding to Duke and to DT Energy. For this week, we're currently looking at names such as United Health to increase our exposure to healthcare. So that's a little bit of what we've been doing on our model side. To talk more about models, I'm going to turn it over to Adam.
Thanks, Freddie. This was a little over a week ago across models. Going backwards, in the fourth quarter, we sold our position in preferreds across pretty much all portfolios, ticker PFF or PGX, one of the two, depending on the model. But like I said, a little over a week ago, put that back on. So right now, that ETF's yielding just over 6%. It kind of followed the pattern of equities, was down roughly 20% at its low. So we saw some value there. We like income in portfolios right now, just as a buffer against volatility. So put another small sleeve of that in across models. So you should see that. Shifting gears, hey, Adam, fixed income. Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, I was going to ask about the investment grade market.
Yes. So that's so really investment grade market has been dominated by new issuance. So we talked about how we keep breaking records. It's a little bit less. Last week was $55 billion. This week is expected to be $50 billion as well. The main thing is new issue concessions remains high. It has come down, but we're looking at roughly 20 basis points of new issue concession over the past week. Conversely, you know, if this was a year ago, we would have been happy to get 10. We're usually getting 5 basis points of concession. So, new issuance is cheap, and it really is where the performance has been occurring in the market. Overall spreads have been tightening. So we should see another, strong week of issuance, and that's both in investment grade, and we are seeing a pickup in high yield issuance as the equity markets kind of stabilize. But to talk about that more, I'll turn it over to Charlie to talk about high yield.
Yeah. So yes, the high yield primary market is definitely now open for business. There was more than a dozen issuers offering more than $7 billion in volume. The issuers were quality focused, with being mostly double B or some that were high single B. Ford was the major news of the week. So they are a newly double B company after being downgraded in late March by all three agencies. And they offered out $8 billion of a 3-year, a 5-year, and a 10-year bonds. So this offering was used to restore liquidity after estimates show that they were going to run at a $5 billion monthly cash burn while production is fully shut down. So this offering saw huge amounts of demand, even after upping their offering from $3 billion to $8 billion. This deal was about 5 times oversubscribed. So that just shows you where the high-yield primary market in the total high yield market, we are now about, on the week, we were about 65 basis points tight. So we're about 370 basis points wide of year-end 2019 levels. The dispersion amongst quality tiers is really great. Double Bs are only down about 4.75% on the year, while triple Cs are down a whopping 20.25%. Another bit of good news for high yield is that they had another huge week of fund inflows. They saw about $7.6 billion coming into ETFs and mutual funds. This is the second time in the last 3 weeks that high yield funds saw inflows topping $7 billion. The big thing that I want to talk about this morning, which is the major news if you've turned on any news station, energy markets have taken a whopping this morning. I was going to speak about how WTI crude oil was down about 20% last week, but that seems to be a bit overshadowed by the fact that it's down 37% this morning. So WTI is down to about $11.65 a barrel. The sharp declines seem to be happening on two different fronts. First, there's technical pressures as May contracts are set to expire after today's session. June and the more future months are still around the $20 a barrel area. Second, despite a 13% drop in U.S. rig count and recent cuts by OPEC Plus, oil supply is still the glut. U.S. crude inventories are 6% above its year 5-year average. There are plenty of stories that crude oil storage is simply running out and demand shows no sign of picking up. The IEA published its oil market report, stating estimates of over a 9.3 million barrels a day year-over-year decline in global oil demand in 2020. That's it for me. I'll send it back to Greg to close.
So just a note on the economy, because we're starting to get the March data come through. So housing starts tumbled 22%. Retail sales just dove 9% in March, or 8.7%, according to the Commerce Department. So the data, these are the largest declines that we've seen on record. And this is just March, and this isn't the full month. So we expect April's going to be just as devastating. The other thing to watch is that this is one of our themes, a large portion of the economy is filled now by startup companies. And the model for a startup company is they go out, they grow revenue, they borrow money, or I'm sorry, they raise money, they raise capital, they continue to try to grow, but they burn through the cash. And so the there's, I think it was PitchBook said there was 2 million people now that were unemployed because of what was going on in the startup world, because they obviously they can't go out and raise cash, and their businesses are really struggling to survive. So that's going to be so it's a big part of the economy, especially since it's tech related. So that's going to be something to watch this summer also as we continue to struggle through that. So a lot of challenges on the horizon. This week is going to be another challenging one as we navigate earnings. So with that, I'm going to close this down. And you guys have a great week. We'll catch up with you during the week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All investments are subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Winthrop's written permission. Copyright 2020, Winthrop Capital Management, LLC. All rights reserved.